let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Shingle Weavers Picnic by Patty C. Smith has been called the season's must-read. One review calling the book somewhat reminiscent of To Kill a Mockingbird, The Shingle Weavers Picnic is a poignant and timeless story of a close-knit family touched by tragedy in the darkest days of the Second World War and a young girl who must cope with the unthinkable when a child is murdered during her summer visit to her grandparents' house. Patty was a well-known stained glass artist in Carmel-by-the-Sea, California for over 15 years, creating custom pieces for celebrities and clients from all over the world. Upon retirement, she took up her second love, writing, and has published poetry and short stories before writing this, her first novel. Mother of two, grandmother of five, great-grandmother of 14, she lives in Montana with her husband. Patty's fame has increased as days go by. She's been seen by many through a billboard in the New York Times Square area and featured on the front page and in the main story of the literary-bound magazine November of 2024. Back with us on This Week in America, master storyteller Patty C. Smith, author of The Shingle Weaver's Picnic. Hi, Patty. Welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning. It's certainly nice talking to you again.
Great to have you back to talk about this book that is continuing to get rave reviews. It's such a remarkable story on so many different levels. Let's talk about this, the story and where it all began. What was the inspiration for writing The Shingle Weaver's Picnic?
It was sort of just an accident. I was taking online writing classes, and my teacher, we put together some homework, and she really loved a 750-word piece of homework that I did, and she kept telling me, you could make a novel out of this. And I kept saying, oh, yeah, sure, me make a novel. But she was so encouraging, and she was such a wonderful teacher for a brand-new student, that this is eventually where my book was grounded and how it eventually became a novel.
And such a successful one at that, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic, an award-winning novel by Patty C. Smith, our guest on the program. Book available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to Patty's website, pattycsmith.com, Patty, P-A-T-T-I. We've got a direct link to her website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Tell me a little bit about the characters. Are there any that particularly stand out? I mean, Cricket is the star of the show. Was that the one that was the most fun to write about and develop?
Well, I did spend my summers with my grandparents in Everett, where this story is based. And a lot of the characters in my story were real characters, or at least how I remember them as a child. So those were the beginnings of my characters, and they just seemed to come alive. And it just took me back to memories of seeing them and talking to them and feeling them in my life. And that's how they got in the book.
You bring out so much that went on during that period. And I wonder how much of that you remember as a young child going through World War II and people hiding the newspapers from you. Life is changing dramatically. How much of that do you remember in your life?
Well, I don't know why, but for some reason I was blessed or cursed, I'm not sure which it is, with a very, very strong memory of my very, very early days as a child, where a lot of people will tell me, well, I don't even remember anything until I got to kindergarten. But I have some very vivid memories of conversations I overheard and situations that I observed but didn't quite understand. So it made it very easy for me to translate that back into this novel.
How was that for you as a child and Cricket in your book, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic? You've got all that going on around you. You're a young child, so you really don't have, obviously, an adult perspective. How do you sort all of that out? I mean, how did you handle that without just total fear of what might happen?
Well, I don't know. It came very naturally. I had sort of a personal relationship going with God as a child. You don't look at things as they really are. He represented himself to me as a buddy and a friend, and just listening to things I heard in church, that's what I thought he was. So when I had any questions, I had talks with him, and I asked him to please have one of these adults explain this to me or explain that to me. So it sort of was a leveling point for me as a child when these things were sort of beyond me, and I was worried and concerned, and my chats with God just put everything at ease for me.
We sense what was going on during that time in history in Batty's novel, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic. And one thing that Cricket goes through, which you did, summers, that was time for vacation time with the grandparents. A little traveling, wasn't it?
It was a different thing, particularly my first trip without my mom. But they had a service called Traveler's Aid, I think it was called, where for any adult or a child, they would send somebody on board to the train all the way along the line to make sure everything was fine and that nothing was going wrong and they were safe. So I really wasn't worried about that. That just didn't seem to concern me. I did miss my mom, but it was quite an adventure being out there on my own. I thought I'd royally grown up by then. I was seven, I think.
What was that like going through that? That had to be sort of the highlight of the summer, wasn't it, where you were all excited, anticipation building, you were traveling, whole new set of circumstances, seeing your grandparents again. That had to be a joyful experience for you.
It really was. I had a very close relationship with my grandfather. I loved my grandmother to pieces. She was just a jewel. But my grandpa and I just had this, I don't know, little special relationship. And I was really looking forward to spending, you know, my usual time with him. It was different that year because of everything that was going on in the war. But he was definitely a steadying hand in my growing up years.
Let's talk about Cricket in the book and what she's going through. She's excited about going to visit the grandparents, but she has to travel alone. Explain those circumstances and what it was like for her, this particular visit, going all by herself.
Well, as I said, there was this traveler's aid, and I can remember the conductor in the car was very good about keeping an eye on me, so to speak, and in fact, I took offense to it. I thought, you know, I'm certainly old enough to handle this.
Yeah, I'm seven,
I don't
come
need
on.
Somebody. Yeah. But yeah, it was a growing up experience, but I was very lucky to be surrounded by some wonderful people and some wonderful characters, and that just stuck in my memory, so it went into the story.
You have all of this going on. You've got the war, the preparation, the fear that's you can be palpable in the neighborhood. You've got the visit to your grandparents. And then there's a murder of a young child. Talk about that in the book and what Cricket goes through and in trying to sort through that as well.
Well, actually, the murder that took place shocked the whole town. It was back in those days. News traveled a lot slower, and people weren't as used to hearing things like that on a daily basis. And most of the town just took it as a personal something. How could there be anybody in our town that would be that vile that could do something like that? And that was the impression that I got about Everett when I was younger. It was like one great big little village, and they say it takes a village to raise a child, and that really shows true in something like that, because people cared in those days. As somebody got the flu or something, there was five pots of chicken soup on their porch at night.
Yes.
And everybody was intertwined, and that's why they all took this as a personal affront, and it really terrified the town. Anything like that could happen.
The storyline in The Shingle Weaver's Picnic, award-winning novel by Patty C. Smith. Her website is pattycsmith.com. Patty is P-A-T-T-I. And links for Patty's website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book at inkstartmedia.com, amazon.com, all the usual places. And again, that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In this with Cricket, her grandfather plays a role in this. What, he's a retired lawyer and judge. Without giving too much away, he's an instrumental character in the storyline as well, isn't he?
Yes, but yeah, he was. So that was very much my grandfather. He wasn't a judge. I mean, this was something that he wasn't. But he had all the characteristics of the character that I put in the book. And he was very concerned about the town and the people and, of course, his family. And he was just a wonderful, loving person and individual that just changed my whole life, I think.
In writing this book, were there any chapters or scenes that might have been difficult for for you to write and bringing back memories, because so much of this came from the memory bank as you were thinking back to what you were going through during this period as a child. What kind of memories did this bring back? Were there difficult ones?
It wasn't really difficult, but it did. My memories did start to rebloom and come back into my thoughts, you know, while I was writing this. And it was just one thing sort of led to another, and it was almost like going home to a place you absolutely love. And the characters just came alive, and they just were there for me to dwell upon and to enjoy. And, it was a difficult time when I was a little girl, but no more so than it was for any other child. But I was surrounded by some wonderful people, and my characters they were just part of my life, and they just flowed into that story so easily. It was not a big job.
Well, there are emotional, compelling characters, a great storyline, the book receiving rave reviews, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic by Sadie C. Smith, our guest on the program. I mentioned a stained glass artist, being an author, a very creative person. Which of the careers is more fulfilling? In fact, is it even fair to ask you which child do you like the best? Which one is the most fulfilling for you? Or are they both fulfilling, just maybe on a different level?
Well, they both came to me as a surprise. My sister and I ended up single ladies at the same time, and we were in our parents' home down in Carmel, and she wanted to work, and I had never worked, but I had children and everything. So she went off and found a job, loved it, and I thought, you know, maybe I should do that too, but I didn't get around to it until one day the person that had hired her as an assistant had a stained glass studio. And she called and said, your sister's out of town. Is there any chance you could come and help me? I'm really just overwhelmed. And I thought, help you do what? And she said, I just need some help. Could you possibly make it? I'd so appreciate it. So I said, okay. I said, but I don't know anything about stained glass. You understand that? Oh, yeah. So I went up there, and she had all this stuff laid out on this huge bench, lenses, eyeglass lenses, and lead and soldering irons. She gave me this 2-second lesson in stained glass, showed me the lamp mold, and said, you're going to make a lamp today. Now, I've got to go to a meeting, and I'll be back in about an hour. And I thought, wow. Oh, no. So I looked at all this stuff, and I started working, and it just, I don't know where it came from, but I just fell in love with the craft. And, of course, I was very proud of that first lamp of mine. I looked at it, and it took me a couple days of work, and then I came in one more day to help her out, and she'd sold that lamp to Andy Griffith.
Wow.
And that's what I thought. So I thought, well, maybe I can do this, because I love doing it. So my second one up, I really got into, and I really enjoyed that one, too. Tim Novak came in and bought that one. So now I've got a swelled head like you cannot believe.
Oh, yes.
Stained glass studio to the start. But it was a wonderful experience. I didn't know I had that talent. And the same thing happened to me with writing. I always did a little bit of writing, but nothing, you know, in a professional way. And I just sort of fell into that, too. I was a caretaker for my late husband who had Alzheimer's, and the doctor suggested, find something to do at home that you're really going to love. And that's when I thought, well, take writing classes online. But I didn't have a computer, so I got one, and then I had to learn how to use it. And then I went to turn in my first homework assignment. They gave me really interesting instructions on how to do it. It wasn't a big deal. Somehow nothing was happening. So I sent my teacher an email and said, I think I'm doing something wrong. Are you getting my homework by any chance? And things got real quiet on the computer, and the next thing that came up, and she said, yes, Patty, all 10 times. So I thought, okay, I've got that nailed. So I'm learning the computer. I'm learning to write correctly. I'm doing stained glass and things like that. And it was just these wonderful, wonderful experiences that just came to me. I was so lucky.
You know, with both those, you see the finished product as you're doing the lamps and doing the stained glass for these people. You see the finished product. when you write the book, you see the finished product. What was it like when you saw a copy of The Shingle Weaver's Picnic for the first time with your cover, your name, your book inside? What was that moment like?
It is, well, for me, I was just in awe. I would look down at this actual item and the cover and the picture and the story that I'd written.
Yes.
And it almost seemed surreal to me that here it was. That's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to make the book publisher ready, but I never dreamed in a million years that it would eventually go and get published. That was not my goal. And my goal was to finish it and be proud of it. I still look at it and think, that's unbelievable that I look down on this and see it. So, yeah, it's a very, very happy experience for me.
And then when you get the immediate impact from the reader, I'm sure family and friends told you how much they enjoyed it, but you read just random people who have read the book through Amazon and the different websites, the reviewers that love the book. What was that like to have that recognition that, hey, I guess I am an author?
Well, I thought, you know, I'm new to this. I'm a first-time author at my senior age. I thoroughly expected that there would be some people that it wouldn't please. I mean, you don't please everybody in this world. So I was all set to have a couple of reviews come back and go, you know, this isn't anything I want to read, or however they do it. And I was just, it just took my breath away that the reviews came back and they were all so complimentary. And people that I knew just loved the book, said they couldn't put it down. So to me, it was sort of another surreal experience that I could have written a book that I loved, but other people loved as much as I did. And I got so much positive reaction from it that I was just taken away. It took my breath away. It still does.
It's amazing the level of acceptance that people read it and they stuck with it and they enjoyed it and they couldn't wait to get from one chapter to the other. The reviews are remarkable, from the average reader on Amazon and Barnes & Noble to the actual professional reviewers that read hundreds of books probably every month and every month and come out with praise for the book, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic by Patty C. Smith. Many say, I love the story, Patty. Are you going to continue it? What are your thoughts on, what are you writing about now, and will you do a continuation?
Well, now, I gave some thought to that. I was very, very fond of the ending and how everything went together. I was so pleased with it. I didn't look back and see anything that I thought, well, I should have changed or done. I really liked the flow of it. But then I got thinking, I so love those characters. I think I'll leave them right where they are, and instead of trying to do a sequel. But what I am doing is I'm very, very fond of the 1940 early World War II era, and I've started another book. I'm into it about three chapters, and it's going to take place during that time period, and it's going to take place here in Montana, where I now live, and it will eventually end up in being a spy story for about the war.
Interesting. Now, when you do something like that, and again, Shingle Weaver's Picnic falls into that category, there's a historical fiction element to that where you go back and you recreate. What's that like to do research, and some of it coming from memory, some of it, I'm sure, coming from the research, to make sure that you're factually accurate so it's a believable story, and then you turn it into a work of fiction?
Well, that's another little thing I didn't realize what went on with that. I wanted to be careful that I wasn't talking about something that wasn't even invented, time. So I had to get, I found that I do a timeline, and that way I can research each little thing as I go. Was that popular during that time? Was it even been invented during that time? And it keeps me on the straight and narrow road of being very authentic, because I wouldn't want to spoil the story by having something in there that didn't exist or something like that. So I do a lot of research, and I really, really enjoy the reading, and it brings back a lot of memories, and I've learned a lot about things I didn't even know. And the same thing is coming up now with a second book. I'm doing a lot of research on all kinds of things that I don't know how to do personally, but I really enjoy the research.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. I'm fascinated by the processes that writers go through, how they go about the structure of a writing day or writing session. How do they do it? Do you use an outline? Do you know before you start actual writing where the story is going, or do you have sort of a rough outline and then the story sort of goes where it's going to go?
Well, I have to have some sort of a direction to keep that timeline authentic. But I know this is going to sound strange, but I guess other authors have said that it happens to them. I sort of have a feeling of a story. And in my mind, I close my eyes, I can see different characters. So I sort of look at those characters and see how they're walking and talking and how they would be dressed. Would they be tall, would they be short, or whatever. And then as the story progresses, I bring those characters back and have them audition for the part, so to speak.
Ah,
I know
okay.
It sounds strange, yeah. But it works.
Well, everybody's got their own process, and it does sound like it works. They need to prove again that they're worthy of being in the story that you're writing.
That's sort of the way it turns out. It's kind of funny, yeah.
Well,
I enjoy that part of it, too. There's not much of the writing that I don't enjoy. I'm not crazy about promotion because, I don't know, that's just not me, but I sure do like the writing, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I've been so fortunate and so lucky. And then to have really nice radio hosts like you who take somebody who's brand new to this, scared as a rabbit on their first interview, and end up feeling like an old friend. You're definitely a professional.
Well, thank you. And you are a professional at what you do. And it's so much fun having, I enjoyed the conversation we had, I think it was a couple of years ago, and talking
yes,
down.
But
hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up before a couple of years and find out how the new novel is coming. But so impressed with what you've been able to do, the story that you tell, the positive response you're getting from the reading public is just incredible how you continue to touch lives, not only as an artist with the stained glass and the lamp that you did for celebrities out there. I love the stories of people that were customers of yours over the course of that career, touching lives in a very positive way, continuing to do that with the new work. This book is an award-winning book, The Shingle Weaver's Picnic by Patty C. Smith. Patty is P-A-T-T-I. Her website, very simple, pattycsmith.com. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. I'd like to thank InkStartMedia.com for arranging our conversation today. They are offering both publishing and marketing services and packages. That's InkStartMedia.com. Patty, it is always a pleasure. It sounds like life is good in Montana. Thank you for being with us on the program. Hopefully we'll stay in touch. A pleasure having you back with us.
Well, it was a bit of a pleasure being here, Rick. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Patty C. Smith, our guest. The book is The Shingle Weaver's Picnic. Information on Patty on our website, pattycsmith.com. Click on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.